Today, my very first guest in 2017 is Carlo David. Carlo, a warm welcome and hi to my Mito radio program.
Thank you, Beyonce. Good to be here.
Carlo David, or CJ as some people call him, was born in the Philippines and migrated to New Zealand in 2000. He did his bachelor degree in theology at Good Shepherd and completed a master's degree in politics and international relations from Auckland University. For the last 2 years, he has been working as associate pastoral coordinator for the Diocese of Auckland. Carlo, you have been in New Zealand for quite some time now. Do you miss the Filipino way of celebrating Christmas and New Year?
Yes, I think it's a very unique celebration for Filipinos with Christmas and New Year. We usually, there is the what we call the 9-day novena prior to Christmas. So we often go to Mass every morning, usually at 4 a.m. At 4 a.m. Every day for 9 consecutive days leading up to Christmas. So it's a very full-on celebration of Christmas. And then, of course, the midnight Mass on the Christmas Eve. And it's usually the time when, obviously people, family gather together to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And for Filipinos, it's the whole idea of religiosity is a very explicit in all Christmas celebrations. So it's one of those cultures where I suppose secularity hasn't taken over Christmas. It's still very much a religious celebration.
So during this novena, all the churches are open in the Philippines at 4 o'clock already.
Yes. So often all churches will have Mass at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. They usually have one after another, and they will also have some who will have them on the night before. So they will have it at about 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. So you can imagine priests celebrating Mass 3 consecutive times in the evening, and then 2 or 3 again early in the morning. So it's a very busy time for priests as well as people who are helping in parishes, who are members of liturgy and all that sort of mechanism that makes the dawn masses, or the Misa de Gallo, we call it.
So. And the people go to work afterwards, so the employers are all happy that they might be a little bit tired?
Yes, in fact, it's a reality for all. In fact, I know a few people who works in call centers, where they usually work, in the evenings, and they even invite priests to celebrate Mass in their workplaces, because obviously they can't go out, but the priest will come in. So it's a very... it's very interesting, really, because people tend to bend over backwards to make sure that everybody gets the chance to go to Mass in these 9 days prior to Christmas.
And do you also have the Advent season? Do you also?
Yeah, so that's the whole Misa de Gallo is part of the whole Advent season. It's in a way it's more of a different set of liturgy, right? It's really outside Advent, but yet it is inside Advent. It's quite unique, really. Mm. It's more of a hybrid, I suppose.
Was that introduced by the Spaniards, or is it something that...
Yes, well, the whole idea of Novena, really, is a very Spanish origin in it, because when we talk in superlative, like when we say holy, 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 instead of saying most holy, we say holy, holy, holy. And so the three sets of three is the superlative of all superlatives. So you have
the three,
so you have nine,
and then you come to the novena.
So you have the nine. So that's where it came from. So that's why 9 days before Christmas there's that novena, and then of course in our Catholic calendar we have the octave of Christmas, which is nine days. I mean, Christmas Day plus the 8 days of octave, so that's 9 days.
Yeah, so have octus and novena from Latin, nine, yes.
Yeah, so that's, it's very, as I said, it's very embedded in the psyche of Filipinos, especially Filipino Catholics, about the whole idea of of the preparation leading towards Christmas.
And do the Filipinos try to do that here too in New Zealand?
Yes, so over the last few years, now that we have a number of Filipino priests working in the diocese, some parishes have offered Novena Masses, most especially the cathedral. They have it at 8:30, I think, this year, 8:30 p.m. And other parishes like in Balmoral Parish and in the eastern suburbs, Pakurang and Hawick, they have one as well. I think they also have one in Glenfield over in the North Shore. And so because a lot of Filipinos are all over the city and many of the priests are all over the city as well, so they were able to celebrate Mass.
To continue the tradition.
Yeah, to continue the tradition and allow Filipinos to, in a way, have an experience of Filipino-style Christmas in New Zealand. Although, of course, we cannot really replicate it.
Yes.
We are not in the Philippines. Like, I don't think it will be doing us any favor if we have Mass at 4 a.m. because we will still have to work at, I don't know, 8:30 or 9 a.m. So, you know, it may not work really well. Hence the reason why some of them will have it at 8 p.m. rather than the early morning. So it's just a way to, I guess, have a feel of home. Because many Filipinos will be, especially if they are here by themselves, their families are back in the Philippines, it allows them to, in a way, reconnect with the tradition and perhaps...
And teach their children the tradition too.
That's right. As well as not feel very homesick, you know, because they are in a church where, you know, it's the Filipino buzz is really present, as well as the whole spirituality of Christmas.
And I understand that the Filipinos are celebrating the longest Christmas season in the world.
That's right.
So if we just think of starting with Advent, or we can say, okay, the Christmas season then starts with the Novena.
Yes.
And when does it end?
Well, the Christmas season really concludes at the Feast of the Epiphany at the 6th of January. So
that's today.
That's right. That's today. And it would have started since the beginning of the Burr month. So as soon as September hits, you know, people will start decorating their houses in the Philippines with Christmas. And as soon as All Saints Day finishes on November
the 1st,
then it's really from then on, it's Christmas all over. You know, the trees are up, the Christmas trees are up, the Christmas lights, the nativity scene, everything will be up, everybody will be buzzing about Christmas. And then obviously the 9 days Novena, the Misa de Gallo, and then the octave of Christmas, and then New Year, and then of course concludes at the Epiphany. So it's a very long process. It's a very a long celebration, but still a very much Christian festival. It's not so much just a secular thing. It's very Christian as well.
Because we in Germany, you also finish with Epiphany. That's when you take down the tree and you take down the decoration. You put it up on the 24th. The traditional way is put it up only on the 24th, and you take it down on the 6th.
Mm.
Because you'll have to wait until all the figurines are there. You need to wait until the three wise kings, because they don't come beforehand.
Of course, that's right.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Carlo David. Carlo is the Associate Pastoral Coordinator of the Diocese of Auckland and is originally from the Philippines. He's telling us a little bit more about the traditions around Christmas and New Year. And so, Carlo, you're telling us a little bit about the differences already between New Zealand and the Filipino way of celebrating these feast days. So you mentioned Epiphany. And then there is, like what the Spanish have, the Feast of the Black Nazarene.
Yes, that's
correct. And the Feast of Santo Niño.
Yes, yes.
Can you tell us more about these three celebrations that come after Christmas, after the Christmas days.
That's right. So obviously, as I said earlier, the Epiphany is today, and this is when officially the Christmas season ends. But also on January the 1st, we would have had the first day of Novena for the Black Nazarene, which is celebrated on the 9th of January, which is a different feast altogether from Christmas. The Black Nazarene is a statue of Jesus carrying a cross. And the reason why we called it Black Nazarene is because the statue is carved out of black wood, so the image of Jesus is, you know, is dark. So that's why we call it Black Nazarene. And I think it was originally from Latin America. So the Spaniards brought it to the Philippines, and it's a very important feast. I think more so because the Filipinos, you know, as you know, Philippines is not a it's not a Western country. It's not a, you know, it's a country with lots of poverty and difficulties with people. And the image of Christ carrying his cross is a very attractive to Filipinos who are struggling in their daily lives. So they see in Christ carrying cross as someone who is suffering with them. And so that's why it's a very popular devotion, to have a devotion to the Black Nazarene. And on the 9th of January, there's a big church in Manila called Quiapo. Quiapo is a district in Manila where this, the Basilica of the Black Nazarene is. And around about 12 million people participate in the procession. Usually it takes about 12 to 24 hours.
So that's a procession with a statue?
With a statue. And because everybody wants to touch the statue. Everyone wants to have their towel or their handkerchief to wipe the statue, or that kind of devotion. It's a very big deal. It's especially in Manila, because this is obviously it is essentially the feast, the main feast that people in the northern Philippines will go to, the Feast of the Black Nazarene.
And where is it kept during the year? The statue is
the statue will be in the Basilica in Quiapo. In Manila.
How do you keep it? Is it in a part that is accessible for people?
Yes.
Because if they want to touch it, I remember in Latin America, they always had grids where people could either touch the statue through the grid, or they would have a little veil that was coming from the statue, and people could touch the veil, which was then connected to the statue.
Yes, so I think in it's reserved in the sanctuary, in the church in Quiapo, and you can actually go around at the back and touch it from the back, so that, you know, and there's a constant line, you know, it's constant queue of people wanting to touch it. And it's actually made, you know, they made a special alleyway, you know, at the back to touch the statue, so that even if Mass is being celebrated in the main basilica, people can continue to go around and then touch the statue at the back.
So how do they control it during the procession if there is such a demand during the year already? It's, on this day, there must be a huge demand.
Yes, it is. It is,
so
actually.
So who makes sure that nobody accidentally damages anything?
It's been very good, actually. It's it looks very chaotic if you're looking at it from an outsider, but they have a system. Everybody knows the system on how to go around it, and they obviously have ushered and you know, security personnel to make sure that people aren't
damaging,
being pushed
it,
and all that kind of stuff, and they're not being injured. I think they mastered the system on how to get around it and to make sure 12 million people will have a chance to touch the statue over the next 24 hours during the procession. So it's very interesting, and I myself have never done it. But I certainly have a lot of admiration for people who do and embrace the challenges to be able to touch the image.
Is it a certain power that comes from the statue?
Yeah, people find it miraculous, and I think a lot of people find encouragement, especially it's still happening in the new year. You know, a lot of people, especially in the Philippines, if you're struggling with employment, or with if you're a farmer struggling with, you know, with with life in general, and the idea of touching the statue of Christ carrying a cross and overcoming the challenges of getting to touch it, I think it gives people comfort as well as encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Is that the only statue of the Black Nazarene in the Philippines, or are there more? Because in Guatemala, you had them in many churches, you had a Black Nazarene. Mm.
Well, the one in Quiapo is the original one, but obviously we have replicas all over the place, and a lot of churches will also have them, even if they're not a huge followers. For example, if you know, if it's something outside Manila that is a separate parish altogether, they will have a statue of the Black Nazarene just to, and as I said, you know, just to have an image of Christ carrying the cross and become an inspiration to people and make people aware of the whole power of the incarnation, really, on how God became human being to suffer with us. And I think that's the spirituality behind this beautiful devotion.
So within a few days, you'd have birth and the suffering
that's
of
right.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's why I found when I was a child, I always find that very confusing, because we just celebrated the birth of Jesus, and then 1 week later, he's already carrying his cross. It's just, you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, that was very quick. So
and then you come to the celebration El Niño.
That's
with,
right.
And with Santo Niño, which is the little child.
With a little child, yes. And that one is, the image of the Santo Niño is very important for Filipinos, because it is the first Christian image that was given to the Filipinos when Ferdinand Magellan discovered the Philippines and instituted Christianity to the islands. The people in the middle part of the Philippines, which is Cebu, they were baptized, and one of the first gift that they received is the image of the child Jesus. And again, it the whole festival thing is very, it reminds us on how grateful the Filipinos are for the gift of Christianity. And the whole idea of dancing, and the whole idea of festival, it's a Filipino tradition before Christianity. But I think when Christianity arrives, we've adopted it into make it a Christian festival and no longer a pagan festival.
So, like an inculturation.
Yeah, and so that was a very inculturating.
And now you're bringing the culture to New Zealand.
Yes, and it's actually a very, it's a very big celebration of the Santo Niño, which is usually the third Sunday of January. And once again, they would have a novena, so 9 days prior to that Sunday.
It's a lot of novenas.
Yes, a lot of novenas. It's, and this particular one, it's only at the cathedral, St. Patrick's Cathedral. So 9 days of novena will be happening there. And then the feast day itself will be at North Shore Event Center for the whole day. And so it allows Filipinos once again to express their religiosity, their piety, their spirituality. And as I said earlier, the whole idea of living out the faith in New Zealand. And it allows Filipinos to be reminded of home, as well as express how pious they are, or how devotional they are in this adopted country.
And a couple of years ago, I attended the Sinulog celebrations on the North Shore. You were just mentioning the mm-hmm. North Shore Event Center. And I remember on that celebration, there was a performance that showed how Spanish conquerors, the conquistadores, mm-hmm. arrived in the village. It was an image of Jesus, which was miraculously saved. Mm-hmm. That's what I remember. Mm-hmm. Because I had to have a translator with me.
That's right.
Can you tell us more about the story behind Sinulog? What means Sinulog?
Well, the whole, as I said, the whole Sinulog was based on the arrival of the Spaniards in the Philippines in 1521. And so Ferdinand Magellan conquered the Philippines. It became a colony of Spain. Starting at that time, and obviously that brought Christianity to the islands.
So it's almost exactly 500 years.
Yeah, so we're actually in the process, the Philippine Church is in the process of preparation for the 500 years anniversary of the coming of Christianity. And before the Spanish came, Filipinos had their own native Filipinos had their own religion, such as, you know, they had their own mythologies and pagan religions. And dancing is a big part of worship in this old religion. And so once the Spaniards came and they baptized these first Filipino Christians, rather than completely removing the form of worship, they've decided to incorporate it or inculturate it into this new religion. That is why we have the dancing festival. You will see a lot of people holding the infant child Jesus and dancing on the streets of Cebu. And so that is a very, that goes all the way back to when it all began. And that Filipinos did not want to lose everything from their ancient religion to what is now Christian religion. So they sort of tried to incorporate it. And now I think it's, you know, it's the form of dancing is a way to honor, a way to worship. And so that's why I think a lot of Filipinos continue to dance to show worship.
Does sinulog means dancing, or what is...
Sinulog actually means literally, it's like the wave. Yeah, because when you see them dancing, it's like one, two step forward, one step backward. This sort of that rhythm, it's like a, you know, like the wave in a river, for example, or the sea. So it comes in and comes back and comes in again. So that whole rhythm of dancing, it's what it came from. And it's a very, as I said, it's a very typical for Filipinos to dance, to sing, to use this expression to show honor, to show worship, and to show love. And that's why I'm definitely not surprised that still a lot of Filipinos, even those who were born in New Zealand, continues to the influence of their families and parents, obviously, to continue this tradition of worship in true dance and songs and festivals.
Do you think that this kind of sinulog, that it was used in order to tell other Filipinos at the beginning, to tell others about Christianity, that it was a way to express, because 500 years ago, they wouldn't read the Bible, for example.
No, yeah, well, exactly.
So that there are many different expressions. Mm-hmm. Like in Europe, you have paintings, and there used to be in the Middle Ages, there were performances in order to bring closer the story of the saints or the story of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that was part of how you told the story.
I'd say so. I think that, as I said, the whole explicit way of expression of faith is certainly something that Filipinos, even if, you know, they're not reading the Bible and all other materials, Christian materials, because the whole actions are embedded into the culture. And so once Christianity is part of that, that's another way to evangelize. And we have to also remember that when the Spaniards came, it was a very somewhat violent to convert people to Christianity. It's like people didn't really have a choice, you know. And I think
they were conquerors.
Yeah, exactly. And rather than oppose, rather than be violent against their new religion, I think for many Filipinos it became easier because they were able to express still some of their old customs into expressing this new religion.
And that's the way that they accepted then the new religion, by incorporating, by inculturing with their own way.
Yes, as well as I suppose the whole teachings that came with this new religion. We had a lot of religious orders that came from with the Spaniards, so, and that's how Christianity is spread, really.
They used to have all the Spanish names, Spanish first names.
That's right. And so, yeah, it's a very interesting history, and I think one of the reasons why I think these kind of religious festivals are still very much alive, especially for Filipinos here in New Zealand, is because we live in a very secular society, and I think it allows Filipino parents to teach their young children on what it's like to be a Filipino Catholic. Of course, we also encourage our Filipino brothers and sisters to not just do the devotions and do nothing else. I think a lot of misconception is, I will do my novena, I will do my devotions to the Black Nazarene, to the Santo Niño.
And then you have no time.
And there's nothing else, you know. And I think we also have to remember that our faith does not stop after we've done the novena. Our faith continues in our daily realities, whether we are working, whether we are being a mother or a father or a student. I think that's one of the things that we try to encourage, that our faith is, you know, it's day in and day out, not just during those time of the novenas.
That's beautiful words for the end of the program. Thank you very much, Carlo.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure to have you here and to learn something about the Filipino traditions. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's a very Catholic country still.
Very much so.
Okay, thank you very much, Carlo.